Welcome to the Penguin Magic Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Tate. We have a great show for you this week. We are devoting the entire program to the upcoming International Brotherhood of Magicians International Convention coming up this July in Pittsburgh. As dedicated listeners know, I am a big supporter of the IBM. I've been a member since I was 19, and I've met some amazing people and some incredible things thanks to being an IBM member. I also directly attribute my career to winning the close-up competition in 2018. It's literally what gave me the confidence to do many of the things I do today. The IBM is at a really interesting point in its life right now. We are seeing younger and younger leaders step up and take the organization in bold new directions. This upcoming convention is no different. I spoke to the chairperson of the competition, Melody Munoz, and the talent chair, Sean Farquhar, to find out all about the incredible programming coming up, and now you get to join our conversation. Melody Munoz, Sean Farquhar, thanks so much for joining me here for the Penguin Magic Podcast. We're talking about the IBM International Convention, and I want to introduce both of you to our listeners. We'll start off with Melody Munoz. You're the chair of the IBM Gold Cups competition. Could you, both the competitions.
That I am. Both competitions, our stage competition and our close-up competition.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Sean Farquhar.
I basically produce it and prepare it and all of that good stuff.
And then we have Sean Farquhar, who is the chair of the talent booking for the competition, for the convention.
I get to book all the talent for not only the shows, but also for the inspiration sessions and lectures and all the other activities that take place.
Well, this is very exciting because I've been to a number of IBM conventions. Actually, I've competed in the competition. Melody has handed me a trophy, which I was very appreciative. And Sean has booked me for the conventions. Let's start with the competition, actually, because that's sort of my favorite part. Melody, could you tell us a little bit about what makes the IBM competition so special?
I think it is the opportunity for people from all over, given the ability to come and be seen on an international stage, on a stage with their peers, and having the opportunity to meet people that, I'm sitting here with Oscar, and he was reminding me that, they meet people that they're going to be friends with for the rest of their lives. I can't tell you how many kids I've seen come into the competition that are now adults and just building that relationship, that family that IBM is so good at doing. And it gives them an opportunity to perform on a stage that they probably wouldn't have the opportunity to do so unless they were with IBM.
Oh, and let's forget money. Don't forget money.
You know what? Our competition gives the largest amount of prizes away. Last year, we had our top competitor in stage, Artem. He took home $7,000. You know, it's just not and he wasn't expecting it. That was great to see the expression on his face to see how much money he really did win. Whoa, it was amazing. So it gives us an opportunity to reward people for their efforts, you know, and it also sets them up to meet other people around the world so that they're able to go off and do more. Artem has been able to go on and compete worldwide and perform worldwide too, because he has competed elsewhere as well. But it's a great opportunity to build friendship and family, and it's money.
Yeah. I mean, the money is nothing to sneeze at. I remember when I took first place in the close-up competition, I was shocked at how much money I'd won. I'd won a couple of competitions before that, but I'd never come home with that kind of money before, which was pretty amazing. And the people who've won this competition there's some big names. I mean, like David Williamson has won it. Oscar Munoz has won it. Shin Lim has won it. I mean, this is the IBM competition is genuinely a stepping stone to huge things in your career.
Lance Burton's run it.
Definitely. A huge list. It really is an international showcase and launching pad for acts to come forward afterwards. I was surprised when I won FISM and there was no money.
Yeah, me too.
Zero. Yeah. But IBM, the biggest cash prizes there are, and the recognition that comes with it, and the fact that it's a launching board. Lots of people look to see and know that the quality. If you've got an IBM trophy, you're good to book.
Let's change topics just a little bit, though. Well, actually, Let's stick on the competition real quick, because I want to get to the talent in a little bit. Sean, what do you think it takes to prepare yourself for the IBM competition? I mean, I could speak to it a little bit, but I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on it too, since you've competed.
Yeah, I have a whole different outlook on the way I approach competitions. I never approached a competition to win. That's never been my goal. That's like the icing on the cake. For me, and the way I've suggested to every person that I've ever helped, is look at it as a goal on how to get better. I'm a procrastinator. So setting that goal, saying, I'm not going to embarrass myself in front of the International Brotherhood of Magicians, but I've just registered for the competition. So that gives me that goal and a timeline to be ready. And I build an act, not just to fool magicians, but an act that'll entertain, because I don't want to just win a contest and not be able to perform it anywhere. So I don't build that typical act. You see, I build an act that I'll actually be able to perform, sell to places, go places with, and I try to make the act international, so that because I'm going to be seen on an international stage, I want to be able to work it not just in Canada or not just in North America. So I design my act to be able to play big, to play visual. I build it so that it's something I want to do. And if I win, that's the bonus. It really is. And I really speak to the meeting people, the friends that I've made, people like Ice McDonald's, like my brother from a different mother. And we met at a contest backstage, both shaking in our boots. And we calmed each other down and we did the contest and I won and I was happy. But that win or lose is not that important. What's important is that you do the best show you can on that particular day. And so I design a show that I want to perform, that I think the audience is going to like, and then I don't worry about the judging. But when the judging's done, I do read the comments, because good or bad, everybody's opinion counts when you're crafting it for the future. And that's another thing I love, is that you get that opportunity to get feedback from judges, and you can, more than just the judges, you get it from the lay people, or the amateur magicians, and some professionals that are in the audience watching that show. The feedback you get is golden afterwards. Some of my heroes, I remember competing, and Eugene Berger took me aside and said, I have a note for you. I'm like, oh my God, you know how much I'd pay for a note? I was like, yes. It's like, yeah. Over the years, Aldo Colombini took me aside to say, I have a move for your cups and balls routine. I'm like, that you don't get that anywhere else. That's an opportunity.
I think that's a big bonus for the Brotherhood, is that the judges are willing to sit down and watch these acts and give good constructive criticism. And I know Oscar and I talk to the performer, to the competitors all the time, helping them, saying, hey, if you want to take it to that next step, if you want to improve on it, let us know. We're here. We all, everybody involved with the IBM, that works with the IBM, they all offer this too. You need help, call us. We'll help you tweak it, add some things to it. Oscar's forever watching the acts and saying, oh, we should do this. We were just actually watching one of the competitors send in their video, and we called him and said, why don't you add this little thing to it? And he's like, great, that's a great idea. So just these little things that we can add to it that help, that's what we're here for. We're here to help them be better, and that's what we want to show. And we want to we present it like a show. I produce the competition, and so when I get the videos of the people in, I sit down and I look at them and I say, okay, what is the best way to present this person in order, so that you don't have, oh gosh, please not another linking ring side by side. I try to make it a show. And so for each of those 2 days of stage competition, you're going to see a show, and they're going to have a fluidity that a regular show will have, because I think that may be the only time they get to perform on a national stage or an international stage, is at that competition. And I want to give them the chance, and all of us at IBM want to give them a chance to do that.
It's such a well-run competition. Melody, could you speak to the details on actually entering the competition? Because you just mentioned you have to submit a video. This isn't something where you just turn up. Like there is preparation in advance.
First thing you have to do is you have to register for the convention. If you go onto magician.org, if you go to, Sean, help me, is it IBM Convention?
IBMconvention.com. Yep. First, you have to be a member of the IBM. Then you register for the convention.
fun thing is that people who are not members can go on and register and become a member as they register. So that's a part of it as well. Once you register, there's also a link that you can go to and you can fill out an application for either the either competition or both competitions, and then you email that to me, and it gives you all the information on the website, and you also have to send me a photo, a headshot is what we call it, because for each competition outside of the competition, I like to present them and say, here's what's on today. Here's who's performing today. And so we use the photo and also a video or a recording of your act. We do this because we want people to take it seriously. We want them to have something consistent, a beginning, a middle, and an end. I don't want you to just reach into your grandpa's, you know, suitcase and pull out stuff. Wanting you to think these things through and prepare something to entertain people. Finger flicking is fun, but entertain me, because otherwise I'm gonna go sleep.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I've spoken to a number of people about the competition, and entertainment factor is heavily weighted in the IBM's judging score sheet, which is something that I've been talking to hopefully a couple of people from Ring 7, the ring here in Columbus, are going to be coming to compete this year. So we'll be hopefully cheering them on if I've done my job as an IBM president. But let's shift topics actually to the convention itself, because Sean, you've been getting some pretty major talent for this convention.
Sorry to interrupt, but this week the show is brought to you by Quarter Pounder from R. Paul Wilson. Nick Lacapo joined me via Zoom to discuss this unbelievable coin gimmick.
Nick, there is a really fun coin trick by R. Paul Wilson, one that he kind of kept close to the vest for a while, but he's got it out with Penguin, and it's such a fun effect. It's like a little coins across with pocket change. We're talking Quarter Pounder by R. Paul Wilson.
It's a great pocket trick. Carry with you. Maybe a little bit. This might be a classic going forward here.
Yeah, I think at this point it might be.
Yeah, you're going to get. I mean, I love coins across. It's a strong trick. And if you've never done it before, this might be a good place to start, because this gimmick makes it stupid easy.
Yeah.
And this is a very unique brand new coin gimmick, which is rare. I mean, what happens is, the coins across, if you're not familiar, is you have three quarters. So you can borrow the quarters and you make them one at a time go from one, vanish from one hand and reappear under your elbow or transfer to the other hand. You can kind of jazz it up however you want to make them change places. But you do that three times, you know, they go across. But with this gimmick, there's just these really crazy displays that are possible.
Yeah.
You can stack the three coins up and like show the three edges, but yet still make one vanish from that position, which seems really impossible.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that like I keep coming back to with this one, is because, I mean, like, A, the gimmick is bomb proof. There's like no moving parts, which is kind of crazy to say.
Right.
Like you're not going to break this gimmick. Right. But it's also not something you're just going to like make in your garage. But the displays are so wild that it makes it just unbelievably fair. And yeah, it's like only R. Paul Wilson could come up with something crazy like this.
Yeah. And it's a really close-up trick, like, yeah, it's close-up, because you want people to see those edges, and so it's like you almost want people burning your hands with this, which makes it even more impossible. I don't know, there's some really cool things with it. This is one of the, I'm waiting for somebody to like do this on somewhere, you know, where everybody's like, oh, what trick was that?
Yeah.
And like, oh yeah, it's been out for a while, but nobody, yeah. One of those, I think. It feels like one of those.
It's definitely, it's going to show up. It's going to like take YouTube by storm or end up on AGT or something like that.
Something.
People are going to go nuts over it.
Well, now, it also comes in a 10p.
Is oh, yeah.
10p? 10p coin and a US quarter as well. So those are the two it comes in. And look, coins across, R. Paul Wilson, new coin gimmick. You're getting a deal. Pick it up, because this isn't going to break on you or anything like that.
Quarter Pounder by R. Paul Wilson. Check it out. That was Quarter Pounder by R. Paul Wilson, available at penguinmagic.com. As always, the spectacular listeners to our show receive 25% off the featured product of the week when they enter a special discount code at checkout. This week, that code is CLINK. That's CLINK, CLINK, for 25% off Quarter Pounder by R. Paul Wilson. That code is only good for Quarter Pounder and only good until the next episode of this show airs. Now, back to my conversation with Melody Munoz and Sean Farquhar. But let's shift topics actually to the convention itself, because Sean, you've been getting some pretty major talent for this convention.
Yeah, it's I've been the talent chair for a decade, and it's time for me to kind of wrap it up. I thought if I'm going to wrap it up, I might as well do it big. So I've called in every favor from every friend, and some are friends of friends to say, and I wanted to change things up instead of just having like a standard lecture. Last year, we tried it for the first time. It was fun. We made like mini TED Talks. We're calling them inspiration session. And it was fun, right? You did one. You got to talk with David talking about, you know, other things than we'd normally talk about.
Yeah.
But I also want tricks. I love that. So I think we have a total of 10, 16, 18, 18 or 19 speakers.
Wow.
Over the sessions. And we have solo sessions, which are basically the lectures, you know. Mm-hmm. People like David Parr, Chris Hendricks, Joshua Jay, Rand Schein are all doing like straight up lectures. Mm-hmm. And then we have panel talks with couples. We're doing an entire couples in magic, and not necessarily that they perform together. There are ones like Matthew and Natasha, the conjurers from England. They work together, but other ones like Paige and Luis, who don't work together, mm-hmm. And have totally different styles. Kayla Drescher Harrison Lambert, who have different styles and don't always work together. We want to explore that relationship and what it's like and how cool it is to be together. Lots of talks like Lee Trebosik is going to talk about the one-man show and how you produce it and put it together. Want to do things different than what's been done in the past. And a big close-up show, not like in the main room. We want to do it in small rooms. I'm going to have the axe move from room to rooms while the people sit there. So you actually get that feeling of close-up like they do in the contest.
Yeah.
The contest, IBM. I've been to other conventions where the close-up is held on the stage with a big camera, and you're like, this is not a close-up. Even FISM mm-hmm. doesn't feel like close-up because you're in a room with 3,000 people doing your card trick, right? It's like, it's a weird feeling. I've got one-man shows. Taylor Hughes is coming in to do a one-man show called The Magic Storyteller. Excited by that. Lee Trebosik is going to do a variation of his show, 52 Up Close, which has been, I think, more than a decade and a half, like a staple in Pittsburgh, because he's a local boy. We're trying some new ideas. We're having a first-timers greeting, a party for people who've never been to the convention before. Heath Fields and Lady Sarah are going to produce that. They're also going to be in the gala banquet, so they get to do their own one-person or two-person show, their own solo show. And we've taken some local people that are like big in their towns. A lot of people like Howard Mincombe. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know Howard, but he's brilliant. He's that juggler that's going to steal the show.
Yeah. And,
but he's from there, so you can't do better than to, you know, have the local boys come out and do stuff.
I think that it is illegal to have a magic convention without a juggler on the gala show.
Yeah.
I think that that's
And I'm also bringing in people from like England. Matthew and Natasha the Conjurers, also bringing in Andy Gladwin. Yep. Josh Jay's coming. We got both the guys from that other company coming in to hang out, which is cool. The North American FISM champions from years ago, Trevor and Lorena Waters from Canada are coming. It's just, I don't know. I pulled out all the stops, wanted to create something cool. Huge names, you know, people like Larry Haas and Jeff McBride are coming to play. Lucy Darling, who everybody talks about. I got her on a show doing her own inspiration session teaching. If you haven't seen her lecture, her book routine is killer. Mark D'Souza is going to do a whole talk on Fred Capps, because I think young people are losing track of who Fred Capps is. Nice. And he's the only person to win the Grand Prix three times at FISM and was a master of magic. He's a perfect addition to it. Harrison Lambert's going to do something really cool. We're going to have improv workshops.
Oh, that's so exciting.
It's going to be a sign up. Absolutely free improv workshops. We've set two, but we've got places for more if it's really, you know, big.
Great.
People want
that
to
means
do it.
I'll know where I find Oscar. Golly, awesome. He'll be there.
Hands-on workshops. Ryan Pilling. Ryan Pilling has a thing called Tips and Tricks. It's if you haven't seen it, Tips and Tricks for Magicians. He's going to do it live. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's going to be 20 magicians per session. And he's going to go through all the steps of building the trick, learning how to do the trick and then performing the trick, because his pet peeve is people leave the convention. He says, I leave the convention, see a dozen lectures, and I don't remember any of it. I can't do any of it. He says, then I go back to the notes for days or weeks. Say, they're going to leave with one thing they can do before the end of the convention. That's guaranteed. And I'm like, I really wanted just more and different. And so I kind of pulled the wings out and just went, let's try everything we can at one time.
I mean, it's really exciting that it's in Pittsburgh, which is like a really easy to get to town. It's really fun to be in. But my real question, so I feel like you said earlier that this was, you were going to be stepping away from being the talent chair. It sounds like you're trying to make the next talent chair's job very, very, very difficult.
My wife said that the other day. I said, that wasn't what I was trying to do. What I was trying to do was go out with a bang going, look, my friends all came out to play one more time. And I'm like, okay, but the next talent chair, whoever it is, will be brilliant. I know they've got two or three people on a short list of people that want to do the job, and that's awesome. When I took it because I wanted the job. I wanted to, I'd seen the same act starting to appear at the convention year after year, and I understand that because it's hard to call in favors. Nobody's working for real pay. They're working for convention pay, and it's a hard time. It's the middle of the summer. People have work. Everybody can go places. And so when I started, it was, you know, I need 8 of the greatest and then some friends that will fill the spaces. And then it was like, oh, Oscar will tell you, one time our MC just didn't show up and he and I ended up MCing the show. And it was cool because Lance Burton asked to talk. And Oscar and I walked out and introduced Lance Burton. Lance Burton did something and then we did something and said, let's just get this straight. Lance Burton just opened for us.
I got to say that the IBM convention is a really fun one. And, you know, it's a little bit longer than the other conventions because there is a fair amount of business that happens in the meeting sort of on the international level. But it's a great place to go and meet other members of the IBM from around the country. I can't tell you how many people that I've met at the national or the international convention that later on I'm going to, like, just this week I was in Salt Lake City performing at a theater and I called up some people who I'd met at the international convention because I knew that there was an IBM ring in Salt Lake City. And it was just, you know, we have that immediate thing that we are bonded by this organization. And this convention's a great one to do that at.
I tell all the young people that they say they want to, you know, do more traveling, be more places. They want to lecture. I said, go to the IBM convention and bring your business cards.
Yeah.
Because you're going to meet everybody at a table. They're just sitting there. And you go, hey, let me show you a trick. And they go, oh, do you teach that? I have a lecture.
Yeah.
It's like, it really is.
You know,
I think that's the most exciting thing is, you know, Oscar watching him and well, me too, coming up in the group and being able to sit next to the people that he always idolized. He's like, oh, I talked to Gene Anderson. Oh, should I talk to this? And it's neat to be able to just actually sit with him and learn a card trick, you know, from Lance Burton or from Jeff McBride or, you know, from Sean Farquhar. Oh my God. To sit across from them and actually commune and talk and learn things. It's just so different from doing it that way than on the computer or on videos or whatever the case may be.
One of the most amazing parts of it, because it feels like a family, is the Lance Burton Teen Seminar.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is put together through the EDF, the Endowment Fund, which is a separate thing. They basically fund this. They do it in honor of Lance Burton. We have Jeff McBride, Larry Haas, and a whole bunch of super professional magicians come in and teach the teens for free.
Yeah.
They get to register for free. No, they get to go to the convention for free. The only cost they have is getting to Pittsburgh and staying someplace. And they don't stay at the hotel. Maybe they got friends. They can crash on a couch. Maybe the mom and dad sleep in a van. No, I don't know. But whatever they're doing, it's literally free to attend the seminar and the convention. For me, I remember saving every dime I had. I slept in a van my first two conventions for IBM because I couldn't afford a hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And because I was paying for the registration and to have some money for notes and to eat some French fries at some point. But the Lance Burton Teen Seminar opens that up. Last year, Anja, she wanted both close-up and stage from South Africa.
Yeah.
She registered for free.
And she won. Yeah, she also won the youth
People's Choice
contest, People's Choice, and first and second place in close-up and stage contest. She's got a book too.
Yeah, she cleaned up and she went home, told the world. Everybody talked about it. She ended up on the newspapers and television, and she's been doing lots of gigs in South Africa. And I understand she's coming back. We have a thing called Teen Tuesdays where they get together once a month under Gabriella Lester and just jam with each other. Mm-hmm. And I try to be a fly on the wall every once in a while and ask what's going on in that group, because the teens, even after the Lance Burton Teen Seminar, still want to meet month after month and talk to each other and just keep this family thing going.
You know, it's funny that as I talk to people and I go, you should really think about joining new magicians. And they're like, what should I do? And I say, you should really think about joining the IBM. And they're like, well, what will that get me? Like a magazine? No, all of this stuff. Like this is like I'm friends with Oscar Munoz and Sean Farquhar and Lance Burton because of the IBM.
Because
it has nothing to do with any tricks I've created or any shows I've done. It's literally because we're IBM members and we meet every year at a convention. I mean, like that's how the friendships start.
It really does. I have a friend now, dear friend. Vinny came to see me. I just did Monday Night Magic in New York, and Vinny brought his wife. He said, I needed you to meet my wife because we became friends just last year at the IBM convention, hanging at a table. We were yakking, and he goes, dude, I can't believe we're hanging out. I said, I'm just a human. He goes, but you're on that other level, human. No, we are just people. He goes, and I know that just now people. Because he attended the convention, and he got to see they're just people. And then you become friends. And it was really cool. We hung out afterwards, went to a cafe bar and just chatted and ended up showing each other card tricks, which is really cool. But yeah, those are all the added bonuses of being a part. I've always told my daughter, my daughter just got her 10-year pin for being a member of the International Brotherhood of Magicians, signed by the International President Billy Sway, which is like her adopted brother. So she thought it was the coolest thing in the world. I said, if you're ever in trouble anywhere in the world, you can just look for an IBM ring and somebody will take you in for the night.
Or give you bail money. One of the two.
Or bail money. Yes.
Well,
or they're sitting next to you. I know how this goes.
Well, we're about out of time. How can people join the IBM? How can they register for the convention? And when is it?
So you can just go to magician.org if you want to join the IBM, or you can go to ibmconvention.com, find out more about the convention, click on the registration, and you can join that way. It's got lots of videos on the ibmconvention.com site with all of my talent, all wishing you well. You can go through the list and see all the people. I think the best tagline I had for the convention is, this year we booked acts that you know and acts that you should know.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, I hope to have a great competition and a great convention. Melody Munoz and Sean Farquhar, thanks so much for taking some time to talk to us about the upcoming International IBM Convention.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Eric. See you in Pittsburgh.
That's going to do it for this week, kids. Thanks so much to Sean and Melody for joining me, and thanks to you for listening. I would encourage everyone here listening to seriously consider checking out the IBM convention. This one is going to be a barn burner. At the very least, consider joining the IBM. I'm a proud member and the president of Ring 7 here in Columbus, Ohio, that meets right here at the P3 Magic Theater. We meet the third Tuesday of every month, and we always love to meet new guests. As always, we're a weekly podcast, so be sure to like and subscribe, as well as share your favorite episodes on the social media platform that you're getting ready for summer on. If you wanted to reach out to me about anything on this week's show, you'll have to sneak a note into my dressing room at the Chicago Magic Lounge. I'll be there in a couple of weeks, and I can't wait to see you all. But if attending live theater performances isn't your thing, you can always hit me up on Instagram at Eric Tate. That's at ERIKTAIT. From me and everyone else here at the P3 Magic Studios, practice, perform.